Start.
Okay, let's do it.
All right. Let's call the April 12th Water Utility Commission meeting to order. And I have 5:06. Ms. Tanner, can we have a roll call, please?
Commissioner Hitt?
Here.
Commissioner Hollingsworth? Vice Chair Merrick?
Here.
Commissioner McMillan?
Here.
Commissioner Mielke?
Bob, are you there?
Apologies, I remuted myself. Yes, I'm here.
Commissioner Reynolds? Chair Hurt?
Here.
Thank you.
All right. Next item is call to the audience. I'll open the call to the audience. Ms. Tanner, I assume we have no one in the wings.
Correct. We have no speakers, Mr. Chair.
All right, we'll close the call to the audience then. Item number one, review and approval of the March 8th regular session meeting minutes. Are there any additions, corrections, or changes to those minutes? Hearing none, may I have a motion to approve?
Motion to approve the minutes from our last meeting.
All right, thank you, Member Hitt. Do I have a second?
I'll second the motion to approve.
All right. Member Hitt moves and Member Merrick seconds. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, Ms. Tanner, can we have a roll call vote?
Commissioner Hitt?
Yes.
Vice Chair Merrick?
Yes.
Commissioner McMillan?
Yes.
Commissioner Mielke?
Yes.
Commissioner Reynolds?
Yes.
Chair Hurt?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, the minutes stand approved. Item number two, genesis of the utilities water resource portfolio, a presentation by Mr. Alan Forrest. Mr. Abraham, you have the floor.
Thank you very much. So we have a real treat for the Water Utility Commission. One is you get a little break from my voice, but let me just introduce Alan. First of all, Alan, he's a native Arizonan. He graduated from the University of Arizona with a BS and a master's in civil engineering. He's been a registered professional engineer in Arizona since 1988. Also a diplomat, water resources engineering from the American Academy of Water Resource Engineers. And he's been working in the field of water utility planning, design, and water policy throughout Arizona for over 30 years. He's served on the AZ Water Association's board of directors for 6 years, as well as the American Water Works Association board of directors from 2016 to 2019. And he was the vice president from 2017 to 2019. Alan started his career as the chief planning engineer for Tucson Water, and he later moved throughout the water community, providing leadership to Metro Water, Community Water of Green Valley, CH2M Hill, Tucson Water, HDR Engineering, and he's now has his own consulting practice, Engineering. In my mind, his most notable work experience he was the second Oro Valley Water Utility Director for the town of Oro Valley, serving the utility from 2000 to 2005. I've asked him here tonight to share with us the history of the foundational water resource work that he started. That has ultimately resulted in the utility having the enviable water resource portfolio that we have today. Alan's also an Oro Valley resident and a friend of the water utility. Please welcome my colleague and friend, Mr. Alan Forrest. Alan, take it away.
Now, thanks, Peter. That was a great introduction. And I just have to admit that, you mentioned that you thought probably one of my most notable work experience, time with the utility was with Oro Valley. And I would second that. I look back on my time with Oro Valley Water Utility very fondly, and I'm really proud of of what we were able to accomplish during the time I was with Oro Valley. And so that's what Peter asked me to talk to you about today. And when he gave me the opportunity, I jumped at it because it was probably most fun time of my career was when I was at Oro Valley. And so I just loved talking about what we did and how we did it. So with that, Peter, if it's okay, we'll just move right in. And Peter and Danielle helped me put this PowerPoint together. I'm going to apologize up front. There's a lot of bullets on there, a lot of information, but I think Peter wanted me to have that so I would stay on track and not, you know, deviate too far off the rails and not bore you all with sidebar conversations. So with that, we can move on to the first slide here. So when I came in to the utility, it was, and before I get started also, this is very informal. So if you guys have, anybody has questions as we go through, and Peter, especially if you have anything to add, chime in as we go, feel free, because I want this to be as entertaining and interesting as we can make it. So, so again, I started, at Oro Valley in 2000. I think it was probably May or so of the year 2000, if I remember correctly. And the utility had just recently purchased the two water companies, Rancho Vistoso Water Company and Kenyatta Hills, that served majority of the city limits of Oro Valley at the time. And it was, you know, it was a long haul just to purchase those two utilities, and it was expensive. And so when I came in, you know, pretty much all that had been done was, you know, the legal part of bringing those water companies into the municipal arena and being owned and operated by the town of Oro Valley. They were still being operated as separate utilities. They had their own, they were physically separated. So you couldn't move water from one to the other. And also we ran them as two separate entities at that time. So each one had their own rate schedules and, you know, capital improvement programs, all of that. It was totally separate. So and then we also had a third water system that was separated. It was part of Kenyatta Hills, but it was a countryside service area. And I believe you still have that service area. But in essence, we had three totally separate systems. We also had a little bit of Metro Water serving within the town limits also. And so we had to go through the process of physically transferring those parts of their system into Oro Valley Water Utility. So there was a lot going on when I came in. On top of that, you know, we were totally dependent on groundwater as our supply. That's all we had. And we were depleting the aquifer. I don't remember exactly how much we were drawing it down, but it was probably on the order of, you know, 10 feet per year throughout most of the service area. So it was of concern, not only to the town, but also to the state, because this was right about 1995, I believe, is when the Assured Water Rules were actually promulgated and went into place. So that basically meant that you couldn't grow on groundwater, that if you wanted to grow, and at that time, Oro Valley was growing like gangbusters. So you had to, all your new growth had to be supported by renewable water resources. So that would be like Colorado River water, CAP water, reuse water, that kind of thing. So things were really changing right at the time that we were just in our infancy. So it was a pretty daunting time, but like I said, it was also, a fun time. And, you know, if you embrace a challenge like that, it can really kind of reinvigorate you and reinvigorate your staff. And so that's where we were at that time. We can go to the next slide here. So again, in 2000, when I started, I swear it was, if it wasn't the week I started, it was the second week that I was there. We had a well that failed in Countryside Service Area, and it was the bigger of the two wells. So we basically couldn't keep pressure in that system. And it was, like I said, it was like May, June. So it was hot and demands were high. And, you know, we really were caught in a bad place, because what happened, and not to get too much detail, is the pump, the bowls in the well broke off and fell down in the well. So it wasn't even a mechanical failure, so to speak. I mean, we lost the whole pump. So all you could do is pull it out, and we tried to fish it out. And I think we ended up having to put a new pump in and all that. You can't do that, you know, in a matter of hours. I mean, you're talking weeks, maybe months to take care of a problem like that. So first thing I did when faced with those challenges was call up my friends at Tucson Water, including Peter. Peter was there at the time, and I had worked with Peter for many years when I was at Tucson Water. So that's the first thing I did. And it kind of started a real nice collaboration with Tucson Water that still serves us well today, I think. But, you know, what did they say? Desperation's the mother of invention. So, you know, that's kind of what started all this. And so working with Peter and others at Tucson Water, we were able to negotiate an emergency backup plan agreement and actually design and build an interconnect so that we could move water from Tucson Water system into the Countryside area and basically restore service to that area. And we did that all in 2 weeks. Just negotiating an agreement in 2 weeks is, you know, a yeoman's effort. But to do that and get the facilities in place was just tremendous. And we couldn't have done it without help of folks like Peter at Tucson Water, who just really jumped in. They saw the need. You know, we're all in this together. And so they were more than willing to help out. So at the same time we were doing that, we were also trying to combine those two separate, very disparate water systems into one. So we were already working on that. We can go to the next slide here. So, and at the same time, I think this master plan, Oro Valley Water Utility's first master plan, had been started before I got here. And I think we were probably about midway, maybe close to finishing that at the time I came in. So we were able to use that as a key document to kind of guide where we're going, so that we were able to identify what improvements needed to be made so that we could physically integrate the two systems together and make sure everybody got adequate service and quality drinking water. We also because we knew we had to meet the assured water supply rules and basically meet the requirements of our 100-year assured water supply and our assured water supply designation that we have from the state. We also had to figure out how are we going to, obtain and integrate and use renewable water resources within the town so that the town can continue to grow the way it was. So we were fortunate that Kenyatta Hills had a existing CAP allocation of 1,652 acre feet per year. We also, realized that Rancho Vistoso did not have their own allocation, but the way they're out, there was an allocation that was granted over the service area, but it was granted to Tucson Water. So part of Tucson Water's CAP allocation covered the Rancho Vistoso Water Company service area. And I'll try to explain a little bit about how and why that happened. So back in 1979, the city of Tucson, they actually did a agreement with Pima County that basically said, in essence, that Pima County was going to be the regional wastewater provider for all of Pima County, and Tucson Water would be the regional water provider for all of Pima County. And at that time, they also, in that same year, 1979, Tucson Water entered into an agreement with all of the water companies up in the Northwest area. And they were all private water companies at the time, both Vistoso and Kenyatta Hills, but also Metro Water was also a private water company at the time. So what they did was they entered into what they called the Northwest Area Plan and Agreement. And this plan basically said that Tucson Water was going to wholesale water up in this area to all of those private water companies. So in the case of Kenyatta Hills, they had their own CAP allocation. So basically what they do is they kind of gift that to Tucson Water, and then Tucson Water would turn around and provide it back to the water company. But for the others, they actually had an allocation as part of theirs, so they would just serve that water company with that water. So that was a problem for us because, we had the 1652 from Kenyatta Hills, but we had zero for Rancho Vistoso when we bought that utility. And in the meantime, 1979 was a long time before, 2000, and that agreement had pretty much blown up. Actually, Metro Water had purchased the private water company, and they basically were in a lawsuit in litigation with the city of Tucson over this Northwest Area Agreement and plan. And so it was already contentious. And here we are, asking Tucson Water, hey, you need to give us this CAP allocation over the Rancho Vistoso Water Company. At the same time, we identified through the master plan, we said, we're contributing quite a lot of water to the return flows that end up in Pima County's wastewater system. And again, going back to that 1979 agreement between the city and the county, the city basically retained 90% of all the rights to the effluent that Pima County developed in their metro treatment plant. So that was also an issue where we said, well, some of that water is ours because you know, we pumped that water out of the ground. We delivered it to our customers, and then it ended up in the regional wastewater system. But we thought we had a right to some of those return flows. So that was another point of negotiation, if you will, with the city. We also thought, you know, even if we get our CAP allocation back from the city, we don't have any way. And this was true with the effluent as well. Even if we get rights to those water sources, we physically don't have any way to move that up into our service area and provide it to our customers. So that was where we thought, well, if we can work something similar to what we did at Countryside, where we did some interconnects and basically let Tucson Water kind of wheel our water through their system by basically introducing our water into their system. As far as the effluent went, it already was there because our effluent was their effluent. And so they already had it in their system. We just had to figure out how much was ours and then have them move it to us. With the CAP, basically what we thought was, you know, they were recharging all of their water through spreading basins out in the Avra Valley. We could just have them recharge our water as well. And then when they recover that water into their system, they can move it through their system to points where we're contiguous and then just move it in. So it conceptually made a lot of sense. And I think it made a lot of sense to both us and Tucson Water at the time. So next slide, please. So that's when we started actually sitting down and talking. We got the lawyers involved, but I think if we turned it all over to the lawyers, we probably wouldn't have an agreement today. So for the most part, when we sat down and negotiated this thing, Chuck Sweet was the town manager at the time. And so between Chuck and I, we pretty much negotiated with Tucson Water for all of these things that I have listed. And you can see that this was really a daunting task. I mean, to negotiate even one of these items would be tough. And we're trying to do them all at the same time. Actually, we wanted to, I listed the settlement in Northwest Area Plan and Agreement as one of them because that had totally blown up. And that was the basis for how we were all supposed to work together. And that was blown up. So we had to basically get out from under that because we inherited that when we purchased the two private water companies. So it was something we had to deal with. And like I said, Metro and the city were already in litigation. So we didn't really want to go there. So we wanted to negotiate some sort of settlement. At the same time, we wanted to figure out and quantify exactly how much water, how much CAP allocation did Tucson Water get over the Rancho Vistoso service area. And then once we could agree on what that number was, then we could work out, okay, how do we go about legally transferring that, which is a big deal because that's a Central Arizona project, is a federal water project. And so basically it's kind of oversaw by the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation. So we didn't need congressional approval to do transfers, but we did need federal approval through the Bureau of Reclamation. And also, there's court proceedings that you have to go through in federal court to be able to do that. So big stuff. You had to have all your, you know, everything in order before you could even go forward and try to do that. And then So we wanted to just basically take care of that first, because that just seemed to be such a big deal Chuck and I thought, you know, let's just get that done and then we'll move on to the F1. Well, city had different ideas because they kind of felt like this was all wrapped together, even though the Northwest Area agreement didn't include effluent as part of that. They kind of felt that it all tied together and we couldn't settle one without settling the others. So we agreed, we threw the quantification and transfer of our portion of the regional effluent in there as well. And then we thought, well, while we're at it, why don't we talk about how we're going to do this wheeling? Because again, the city wanted everything to be kind of all tied together. So and if I remember right, in their words, they didn't want us cherry picking. They didn't want us kind of taking care of the CAP deal, but not resolving the Northwest Area Plan or not resolving the effluent issues. So it made sense. It made things a whole lot tougher to get through, but we did that. And in the end, it took us about a year, I think, maybe a little over a year. But in looking back on that, at the time, it seemed like a really long time, and it seemed like we were in endless meetings, and we'd seem like we were getting somewhere at a staff level, and then we bump it up to, the political level, and things would change. And so then we'd have to get Mayor Loomis involved to kind of negotiate on our behalf at the political level as well. So and then we had to make sure it was all legal and that it would pass federal muster. So when I look back on it, the fact that we were able to get it done in less than 2 years was just, it's pretty unbelievable now that I look back on it. But again, and Peter and I have talked about this a bit, but I think if there wasn't a level of, well, one, familiarity between the staff at Oral Valley and the staff at Tucson Water, and a huge level of trust both ways, I don't think we could have ever pulled that off. Next slide. So what we did in that first round, that first intergovernmental agreement, was we did quantify the amount of CAP water that was basically that Oral Valley was entitled to. And to do that, me and our staff, we spent endless hours going back to the original allocations that I think were done in like 1983, and had to actually go back and figure out, well, how did the state and the federal government, how did they figure out who got what of the 1.5 million acre feet that was available through the project? How did they parse that out? So, we ended up going back and making maps and figuring out, areas, and then going through planning and zoning to figure out, what the growth projections were at the time, because it didn't really matter what they were now, because it mattered what they were when they did the allocations, because that's what all the allocations were built on, was what your projected need was at that time. So it was really difficult. And then we had to, once we did it, we had to convince Tucson that, what we did was right. And so again, there was a lot of back and forth, but we did get to, and Peter, I don't remember what Rancho Vistoso's allocation is or was. I mean, it's all part of yours now. One big allocation, but anyway, I think it was on the order of like 1,500 or something, a couple thousand acre feet. So once we did that, we had to figure out, okay, we settled on, you know, the amount of water. Now, what do we have to pay to get that water transferred? Because there were, as you're all probably aware, if you have a CAP allocation, there's holding costs, and you have to pay those costs every year just to keep your allocation alive, whether you take any water or not. And so Tucson Water had been doing that for the portion of allocation they had over Rancho Vistoso. And they've been paying that for many, many years. And so then in the end, I think, again, it's approximate, but I think it ended up being about a $5 million price tag to get that couple thousand acre feet of allocation, CAP allocation. And again, all that did was kind of solidified our right. It didn't give us any water. I mean, as you take water, you have to pay additional amount for that water. So all this did was gave us the right, that $5 million. So it was pretty steep price tag. But I mean, you look back on it now, and it probably was a ganga for what we got out of it. So, we also were able to memorialize a calculation and the methodology for which Tucson Water would calculate how much effluent Oral Valley was entitled to each year. And it was based on how much water we delivered and an approximation or estimation of how much of the water we provide ends up back into the sewer system. And that was quite a undertaking, actually, because the lawyers wanted to be the ones to come up with all the legal terms and all the and basically put the methodology in the agreement. And so it was kind of tough kind of translating technical information into legalese so it would all fit nicely in the agreement. But we did it. And I assume, Peter, they still use that same methodology to figure out what you get every year.
Yeah, we've turned into a spreadsheet form now, so it's manageable, but it's a very complicated calculation. I mean, I think a graduate student could use it for a PhD thesis. You guys, I mean, I don't think you left a stone unturned when you went to calculate it.
Yeah, and like I said, I think the calculation we proposed was pretty straightforward, but by the time the attorneys got a hold of it and made, you know, took care of every eventuality that could possibly come down the pike, it ended up with what you have to deal with today, Peter. So I apologize for that, but I'm not going to take the blame for it. So that got us through the first phase, and that was huge. Just quantifying and getting those rights transferred was huge, because that allowed us then to move forward and get our assured water supply designation so we could continue to grow. But what that did was that triggered, okay, now, you know, the state says, okay, now you have rights to renewable water supplies, and you've committed those to your assured water supply, which is great. But now you got to show us how you're actually going to use it and how you're going to get it into your system and take advantage of, you know, kind of, you know, walk the talk, so to speak. Yeah, you said you're going to use it. Now you got to prove it. So that kind of moved into this addendum number one. So right after we got all that worked out, the first thing we thought was, you know, that the low-hanging fruit really was the effluent, because, again, we had the right to it. And so that meant that we didn't have to pay full freight to Tucson Water to get reclaimed water off their system, because we basically brought our own water. And we asked them, we said, okay, can you move it through your reclaimed water system up to basically the, they had, what is it, a 5 million gallon reservoir up at Thornydale and Tangerine, their Thornydale reservoir. And from there, they boost up to Dove Mountain. So they had a pretty good system in up through that area. So we basically just had to get from Thornydale along Tangerine over to into the Rancho Vistoso area so that we could serve all the golf courses in the area. And if we could do that, that was going to be huge, because golf courses were our biggest water user by far. And, you know, individually they were, collectively they were probably more than a quarter of our demands were for those golf courses. So so it really was low-hanging fruit. We could get the biggest bang for the buck if we could get that effluent in and on those golf courses. And a few parks and schools along the way, that also helped. So we started diving right into that. But again, we ran into old agreements, old legal arrangements that were really getting in the way. And I'm sure Peter will remember this, but I guess it was probably in the early 80s when Dove Mountain first developed and they started putting in golf courses up in Dove Mountain. That development really couldn't happen without effluent, because I think they had, you know, that the county had required that effluent be utilized on any new golf courses, any large turf irrigation. So they had to extend Tucson Water's reuse system all the way up into Dove Mountain. And the launch point was that same Thornydale reservoir. So when we were saying, okay, can you, I think it was like about 3.75 acre feet per year or something like that, that we were looking at bringing in to our system for the golf courses. They basically said, well, that's about all the capacity we have at this point, and we have legal commitments to give it all to Dove Mountain. And so we were kind of, you know, well, how do we get this done? And so what we ended up doing was kind of tracing back through their existing system and finding out where the, figuring out through modeling and engineering where the bottlenecks in their system were, because I think we had to get up to about 7 MGD or something like that, million gallons per day, so that we could get our 3.75 and Dove Mountain could get what they were committed for. So we ended up having to add two booster stations. One we had to put in back down around on Thornydale, back around where the Mountain View High School is, so that we could push more water through the pipes. I mean, we could have pushed more water through all the way from down around Ina and the freeway. Only problem was that we were going to have to raise the pressure so high that it would exceed the pressure class of the pipe. So Tucson Water wouldn't let us do that. So what we had to do was we could move a lot of that water through by taking the pressure up to a certain point, but we had to keep it below, and that would only get us, you know, like a mile shy of getting to the reservoir where we needed to get. So we had to build this inline booster station so we could get that amount of water to Thornydale Reservoir. And then out of Thornydale, we had to build a totally separate booster station there to support a 24-inch line running almost due east into Oro Valley. And so that's what we had to do just to Tucson Water's existing system. So we laid all that out in this addendum and what we were going to pay and what Tucson Water was going to do for us. We also, because of all those prior commitments that they have made to Dove Mountain, they basically couldn't guarantee us that we could get that 3.75 million gallons per day, 24/7. They just wouldn't guarantee that. So we said, okay, if you can't guarantee us, then, and it's going to be an interruptible supply, then we don't want to pay for we don't want to pay for something we're not going to get. So we actually negotiated an interruptible rate as well. And Peter, are you guys still on that interruptible rate?
Right. We still are. And you know what? A lot of that came about from, we were just at the time, I was at Tucson Water at the time, and we just wanted to make sure we didn't promise something we couldn't do. And what we came to realize is the intermediate booster station we built, the Mountain View booster station,
right.
The head conditions were better than what we had projected. Everything, you know, as engineers, we're conservative, right?
Right.
Everything worked in our favor such that Tucson Water is able to deliver more than enough reclaimed effluent to Thornydale to cover Dove Mountain, Oro Valley with capacity to spare. So yeah, we still pay the interruptible rate, but we've never had to use it just because Tucson Water can move the water.
Yeah. And, you know, we kind of thought that's where we were going to be, Peter, but we couldn't guarantee it. And part of it was that they had committed a certain amount of water to Dove Mountain, but that was predicated on them adding another golf course that I don't think ever came to fruition. So that also freed up some capacity that they didn't really think they were going to need up there, but because I can't even remember the date, but there was a date certain that Dove Mountain had that right to that water if they built this golf course, this additional golf course by date certain. And once that date passed, then they no longer had.
And Oro Valley got the first right of refusal to that extra capacity. And so we took advantage of that.
Yeah. And that was part of this agreement, I think, that said if Dove Mountain didn't take it, we want it, you know. So, yeah. So we worked through that. I think it was late 2003 when we finally got all that done. And we really didn't even delve into the wheeling arrangements for CAP water. At this time, really all we did with the CAP water was we recharged it through different methods, mostly in the Marana, Avra Valley area. But the way state water law worked then and works now is that as long as you can meet the requirements of permitting a recovery well in your service area and you have adequate groundwater supplies to support what you're doing with that water, that you can actually permit your production wells as recovery wells and in essence pump paper CAP water. So on the books, you're pumping groundwater and nobody's even trying to pretend that that's the same water. The CAP water that you recharged in Marana. But as far as the state was concerned, if you could meet the requirements of permitting a recovery well, which basically was you couldn't have more than a 4 or 5 foot decline per year in your the water levels in that well. If you could meet that, then you could permit it as recovery well and basically call all the water that you pumped out of that well CAP water, renewable water. So that's how we were able to utilize our CAP water right then. So the final part of the story was just building the reclaimed water system. So we had to make those improvements to Tucson Water System, but we also had to extend, I don't even remember how many miles it was, but from Thornydale all the way over to the, Vistoso Loop area. And we, I think we put a 24-inch line all the way through there, and we built a 1 million gallon reservoir at right next to Splendido, and a pump station to pull water out of that reservoir and get it up to all the golf courses up in Vistoso. And if I remember right, we did a bond issue to cover all of that work, and I think it was about a $30 million bond. So it was not a small project. It's probably the largest capital project that Oro Valley had done up to that time, and maybe still the largest single capital project they've ever pulled off. And so I think it was in 2005 or so when we completed that. We and then started taking water. And if I remember right, Peter, I think day one, once we got that effluent system, the reclaim system online, and got everybody hooked up, and that was no easy chore either, because we basically had to, just kind of by force majeure, force the golf courses, which were all private entities at the time, force them over to this new water source. And they felt that it was an inferior source to the groundwater that we were giving them. And they were probably right. I mean, from a quality standpoint, yeah, it's nowhere near that, but it's expensive water. And so we were charging them basically the same thing for the effluent, the reclaimed water, as we had been for groundwater. So it was really, really difficult. And I don't think we had any lawsuits or anything over it, but I think we came close. But we basically said, hey, this is all the water we're giving you, and this is the deal. And basically, I think when they built those developments in those golf courses, I think the moratorium on using groundwater for golf courses had already been set. So I think they had to agree if and when it was available that they'd use it.
Unfortunately, there was the political will to make those hard choices. I mean, they made it, a code that if we get reclaimed water to you, you have to use it.
Yeah. And it reduced our groundwater pumpage by about 30%, if I recall, which
it was huge.
It's huge. So I think that, unless you can think of something I missed, Peter, I think that's about all I had to share today. And again, thanks for letting me ramble on and reminisce. But I told Peter that, I moved around a little bit, so I've been through a lot of job interviews, and it seems like one of the questions they always ask is, tell us about a point in your career that you're most proud of, something that you accomplished, an accomplishment you're most proud of. And I would usually turn to exactly what I told you. I'd say it a little more succinctly than I did for you, but basically this whole negotiation and building the reclaimed water system for Oro Valley is really probably the thing I'm most proud of. And, I'm proud of everybody that worked on it. It just was a yeoman's effort. And, I still kind of shake my head today, thinking about what we were actually able to do. But like I said, without a willing partner in Tucson Water, we never would have got it done.
And you know what, Alan, I think you start off early on with a real important point was, and that's what's important is the relationship building we do in our profession. Mm-hmm. I mean, Southern Arizona is too small to not have good relationships with your other water provider partners. And, you know, that the spirit that you were a part of in the late 90s, early 2000s, I hope you see that the stewards, the water professional stewards that are coming behind you are continuing with that.
But, yeah. Yeah. Actually, you're right, Peter. And it's good to see, but you know, folks like you and, you know, Joe over at Metro and folks over at Marana Water now who have been part of this industry here in Southern Arizona for so long and have developed those relationships are all in positions of leadership now. And I know you all get along very well. And I think that trust is even bigger than it was, you know, when I was at Oro Valley. I think we had it between Oro Valley and Tucson Water, but it definitely wasn't there with the other Northwest providers. Like I said, they were in litigation, and I think we're way past all of that now. I think everybody in this region now is working very well together, and it's good to see. And it's all based on those relationships that you talk about, Peter.
Well, I'll tell you what, professionally, I'm very, and I'm not shy about this. I freely acknowledge I'm standing on the shoulders of the giants, and it's just my turn to carry the ball the next yard forward. But I'm very appreciative of the work that you and others did. Let's be honest, that we wouldn't, I often say this, we wouldn't be in the enviable position we are now if it wasn't for that body of work that you were a part of. So thank you for doing that. Thanks for sticking with it. You know, it set us up for success. And I'd open the floor up to the commissioners with any questions.
Any questions or comments?
I have one, just briefly.
Bob.
Was there ever any consideration given to divesting the utility of the Countryside area?
I think there was at times, but we didn't get too serious about it when I was at the utility. I think Marana, as they started to grow, they kind of grew into that area. And I do kind of remember there were some discussions, but again, I don't think we had the kind of relationships at Marana that we had at Tucson Water. And so we really couldn't get very far because I think at that time, you know, Marana, they were willing to take over the system, but they just wanted us to give it to them. And we didn't feel like that was a good play. Also, we were trying to support $30 million worth of bonds to build that reclaimed water system. And those were all revenue bonds. So we kind of needed every customer that we had to cover that debt. So, yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Other questions or comments? Going once, going twice, three times. Alan, thank you very much for joining us. It was informative, and let at least me, and I hope others on the commission, know how this thing got started. Thank you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Like I said, I was tickled when Peter asked me to do it. So, and thanks to all of you for your service, because I can tell you from experience, having run that utility for 5 years, the Water Utility Commission is really a big part of how the machine works and is supposed to work. So thanks to all of you for for your service.
Not a problem. We will walk the checks to the bank.
Okay. All right. Peter, is it okay if I check out here?
Thank you. And by the way, your memory is excellent because your numbers on percentages and dollar signs were all in the hunt. So good job.
Yeah, my memory is not what it used to be, but when you spend so much time and effort on something like that, I think it just, you know, is burned into your skull, I think. So.
Hey, thank you, Alan.
Thanks, Peter.
I'll catch up with you later. Thank you.
Okay. See you.
Thank you. Chuck. Thank you again. Now we move to item number 3, town council meetings and communications. Councilmember Bowen. Councilmember Bowen, you have the floor.
Thank you, Chair Hurt. Regarding the Water Commission, I'm aware that the report is in and we'll be talking about rates at an upcoming meeting. It's difficult to say exactly when because we've had so many unanticipated issues early this year which have pushed some of our meetings back, but I do believe we'll be talking about it in June. Regarding impacts to water demand, some of you may be aware that on April 21st, we'll be hearing the annexation proposal for the Westward Look Resort, which is on Ina. And that will be one of the things we'll be talking about at our next council meeting that will have some impact upon water demand, but not exactly sure how. I think, you know, that would be something I would just ask Peter about to see what the real impact would be. But fairly quiet this month regarding water. Maybe I'll have more to share with you guys next month. Commissioner Hurt, thank you.
All right, sure, thank you, member. Thank you, Council Member Bowen. All right, now we move to item number 4, subcommittee reports. Finance Subcommittee, Tom.
Hello. The Finance Subcommittee did not have any meetings or activities since our last meeting. And we have nothing to report.
Well, that's short and sweet. Thank you. The Water Resources and Conservation Subcommittee. That committee did meet on the 8th of April. There are now 2 new videos available on the town's website regarding water. And a new edition of Behind the Meter went out with the most recent billings. The Water Utility Commission is working with AMI and a local data analysis company to further refine and tease out data from both individual meters as well as larger geographical areas of the town. Given that the data is coming in on an hourly basis from meters, and I understand it's coming in on an hourly basis, what we're now generating is a huge data set. So we'll have to tease some things out. To be clear, the conservation program for fiscal year 21-22, especially outreach to schools, is moving a little bit slowly. The real issue is that students are not in the classroom where the data suggests they are more amenable to the program in large measure because the programs were designed for in-class use. So we have a little disconnect there. And finally, Mr. Abraham updated the subcommittee on the NWRRD progress and worked the subcommittee through a draft IGA with Marana and Metro Water, who have joined with Oro Valley. Oro Valley will be the lead for the IGA, and the IGA still needs to be polished, sent to legal and procurement, and then will then come back through the subcommittee, the commission, and finally then council. So that's the report from the Water Resources and Conservation Subcommittee. All right.
Chair Hurt, if I could, please.
Yes, please.
Yeah, I want to apologize to the subcommittee and the commission as a whole for I missed that meeting last week. I had a bit of a medical issue. I spent about 3 or 4 days in the hospital. We're recovered now, but I just want to apologize for everybody for missing that meeting. It was beyond my control, as Superman once said.
Absolutely. And Rick, glad that you're okay, number one. But number two, you were missed.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Charlie.
All right, no problem. All right, let's move to item, unless there are other questions. So let's move to item number 5. Director's report, Mr. Abraham, you have the floor.
Thank you very much, Chair Hurt. Just one item. I had heard Councilmember Bowen mention something with respect to Westward Lurk. I just wanted to provide clarification on is the Westward Lurk, Westward Look annexation. That's in Metro Water's designated service area. So that annexation would, we wouldn't be the water service provider for that area. Moving on, next slide, please. As Chair Hurt had mentioned, we had a Water Resources and Conservation Subcommittee meeting. One of the things that we discussed, and we thought I would just touch on at high level here for the commission, we've developed some new customer communication platforms. We've developed a welcome guide that goes out to new customers to the water utility, as well as we started a new quarterly newsletter that we call Behind the Meter, and hopefully you folks have seen that, and we'd appreciate any feedback or even commentary of what you'd like to see in future newsletters. We have an idea of where we want to go the next few years, but we're always open to suggestions. As well as, if you look at our website, we have a Water Wisdom videos series that we're putting together with things like where your meter is, how to read your meter, what not to do to your meter, those sorts of things. The Water Utility Annual Report has been rendered to council, and it is posted on the Water Utility website. You can find it under Water News, Forms, and Reports. Next slide, please. So upcoming meetings, April 21st is a town council regular session. That's a Zoom meeting. Next council meeting is May 5th at 6 p.m. is another planned Zoom meeting. And then May 10th is our next Water Utility Commission meeting, and that's a planned Zoom meeting. There's been some talk about resuming meetings in person, but I don't have anything concrete on that, but I'll let the commission know if there's been approval to change the meeting platform. That concludes my report. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter. Any questions for Peter?
I just had one comment, Peter. I just wanted to say that the graphical content of the items that you put out in this month's water bill was really good looking stuff. I don't know if you guys do that in house or if you have help with that, but it was good stuff. So keep up the good work.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Merrick, for that feedback. And yes, that's done in house. So
excellent. Next All time. Right, nothing else for Peter. All right, call to the audience. I assume, Ms. Tanner, we have no one in the wings.
Correct, Mr. Chair. There are no speakers at this time.
All right, let's close the call to audience. Any future agenda items? Going once, twice, three times. We will close that. Prior to adjournment, I need to tell you, I don't know whether it was clear to you, but I dropped out for about 2 or 3 minutes, not by choice, but because I had a DNS dropout, which was kind of interesting. So I had to rework around a DNS, and then I couldn't unmute the mic. That's a little tough for the chair. And guess who saved the bacon? Danielle. So thank you, Danielle. Way to go. All right. Next on the agenda is the ever popular adjournment. Could I have a motion to adjourn? Don't all move at once.
I'm moved.
All right. Member Milkey moves. And Member Reynolds seconds. Ms. Tanner, roll call, please.
Commissioner Hitt?
Yes.
Commissioner Hollingsworth?
Yes. Yes.
Vice Chair Merrick?
Yes.
Commissioner McMillan?
Yes.
Commissioner Mielke?
Yes.
Commissioner Reynolds?
Yes.
Chair Hurt?
Yes. All right. Thank you. We are adjourned at 6:11. Thank you very much for the meeting, and we'll see you in May.